brief warning that we're about to embark upon is considered by most scholars to be the most difficult chapters of the Bible. Okay, I mean, you could say that about a few Prokem in here in Habakkuk or Eov or something. But chapters 9 through 13 of the book of Zechariah is rather difficult. So the difficulty already you'll find in the very first pasuk. Masho devar Hashem be'eretz Chadroch v'dameshek menuchaso. Targum does not translate Chadroch as if though it's a place. Targum says that Chadroch is Ara Daroma, the land in the south. Rashi also cites a medrash that says that Chadroch is the place where Mashiach will reveal himself, or is a hint to Mashiach, because Chad and Rach both mean, they mean it's opposite. Chad and Rach, one means sharp and pointy, one means soft. So Mashiach is called Chadroch because he's sharp for some people who are evil, and he's soft for some people who are good. Wonderful. However, the Radak points out that there is a place, Yesh Shem Makom Sheshmo Chadroch. There is a place, it's now in Syria, not far from Damascus, that is called Chadroch. Okay. The problem is, it's not mentioned anywhere else in the Tanakh. Otherwise, Rashi would have said something about it. What Rashi is trying to get at here is that this is a prophecy for the distant future, having to do with Mashiach. That will be Rashi's derech. However, the Radak says it's just a prophecy about something in the north that will happen in the north of Israel. The Nesra says that this cryptic beginning of this prophecy means that my prophecy shall rest upon these places. I only gave you three interpretations here: Targum, Rashi, and Ibn Ezra. And we're not sure if we're talking about a contemporary message or we're talking about the Messianic age. We're not sure if we're in the north or in the south, right? We're not sure if we're dealing with real names of places or imagined names of places. Mm. It just shows you that every pasuk is going to move in this direction. Mm. We're just going to try to get an overall picture of the prophecy in order to make sense of it all. Okay. It says, Ki Lashem ein adam v'chol shivtei Yisrael. For to God is the eye of man and all of the tribes of Israel. Yeah. What would you make of this? What he's trying to say is that at the time of this prophecy shall rest, the eyes of man must be upon God for it to be a successful prophecy for all the tribes of Israel. Okay? Towards God, Ki Lashem here means towards God shall be the eye of man. Man must will give his look and have his direct his hopes towards God. Okay, and that must be from all of the tribes of Israel in order for this prophecy to come true. Alright? Now take a look at these other places. Now, this, I really have a problem with Targum based on this next pasuk, because if Targum says that Chadroch is Ba'ara Daroma, look at where all these other places are. Every other pasuk in place in Pasuk Beis is clearly identifiable. Can you think of where they are? Gam Hamas, Tikboba, Tzor, Vitzidon, Kichachma Me'od. These are all in Lebanon. Hamas is in Syria also. So, if I know Damascus is north, Hamas is north, Tzor and Sidon is north, I just go say the same that Chadroch is also north. Okay? These are all places in the north of Israel. Now, we're just verse 2.
Is Damascus the real Damascus of today?
Yeah, probably, most probably. Here's where I would like to take you for this. I think I've told you this before earlier, that a lot of the prophecies of Zechariah come off the heels of futuristic prophecies of Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu gave indications of what would happen for these 70 years, and Yirmiyahu gave prophecies to undo them for the distant future. And Zechariah is like Yirmiyahu 2, the Yirmiyahu of the future. Now, one of Yirmiyahu's first prophecies is, Ki mitzafon ki patach hara'ah. From the north shall the evil come. Right? That's in chapter 1. It's no secret. But Babylonia comes. Yes. Ki mitzafon tipatach hara'ah. From the north shall the opening come of evil. And in addition, in chapter 16 and in chapter 23 of that same book, Yirmiyahu, he writes that in the future I will call you from all of the nations of the north where you will be scattered. Now, when the Jews were scattered twice, once in the year 722 and then again after by the Babylonians, they were mostly taken north, not south. Right, they would walk past Kever Rachel up north towards Babel or Ashur, etc. Not as many were taken south. There's certainly some taken south, but mostly were taken north. So Yirmiyahu says, I will bring you back from all of the northern countries where you were taken. Sher halos bnei Yisrael me'eretz tzafon mikol ha'aretzos asher yidachtem sham. Chapter 16 and chapter 23 of that book. So here he is referring again to these places in the north. Gam chamos tigbolba. Tigbolba means the sig gvul, the gvul Yerushalayim. Wow. That's amazing. Borders all the way up to the north. Now, if you look at Taka at what Hashem promised Avraham, you ever see a map of the original promise? Not what Hashem told Moshe in the Torah what your borders will be when you go to Israel. But what Hashem told Abraham.
All the way up.
All the way up. Past. I'm not talking about Nahar Pras, which is Mesopotamia, but I'm talking even for all the way further up. A real map of Abraham. It's hard to find it. I had to draw it myself because he couldn't find it because it's very politically incorrect to make such a map. So he says that these other countries to the north shall border you. That means that, according to this, Zechariah is making a prediction that a time will come where Avraham's borders will be recognized. Okay, now he says that these places, ki chochmo me'od. Any Bekiyas here can tell me what that means? Sor and Sidon, they were very smart. Okay, for this you have to really know your Sefer Yecheskel. Chapter 28 of Sefer Yecheskel is a diatribe, really, against people who think that they know it all. Chapter 28, Yechezkel Chavches, against people who say they think they know it all. Like you know, the Greeks tried to gain all wisdom. There's nothing left to mystery. They wanted to solve all existential issues. So
the great capitals in the ancient world, well, Tyre and Sidon.
Indeed, Yechezkel picks on Tyre, and he says that the king of Tyre calls him Chiram, same name as the one who helped Shlomo build the base of Mikdash, because they had great cedars from there. And he says, you think you're so smart, you know, so he says here, Shorvet Sidon ki chochmo me'od. Now, I think Zechariah in the next pasuk is going to engage in what we saw in some other books of Tresar. Remember, Micha did this, and Amos did this, and Hosea even did it a little bit, where they used alliteration and some puns to describe what would happen to certain places. Remember that? So remember, you had Sor, Sidon, and Chamos. Ches is in Tzadik. Look what happens in this pasuk Gimel. Dora, would you take us away?
Vativensor Motorolov. About its four kesef, kehofor, harutz, ketit, hutzot.
Okay, so you see a lot of tzaddiks. Tzor, matzor, titzpor, harutz, hutzot.
Ketit, hutzot.
Hutzot means the
outside.
Means like a protective wall. Basically, what he's saying is that you think that you are making for yourselves vast protections with these matzor, with these fortresses, and you gather much money as if though the money is dust. So what's the basic point of Pasuk Gimel? If you think that you're hiding away in fortresses, you think that you're amassing such great wealth, that gunish telfin when this prophecy comes true. And indeed, the people from the north, we know from other stories in Tanakh about the people from the north being like an Am Badad Yishkon. Remember the story at the end of Sefer Shoftim when Dan went up north to Laish, and the people there didn't even need any, it says specifically, they did not have any walls around the city because they were so safe there, no one bothered them. Right? When you have a wall around your city, that's a sign that you don't feel safe.
Exactly.
Okay? So here he says, Tzor makes Matzor. So it's a pun, but it's not going to help. You think that you're going to protect yourself with these walls and with your money, not going to do it. Hinei, Pasuk Dalet, I want to continue.
Hinei, Adonai, Yorishana, Mehita, Bayam, Chewa, Bihi, Ba'esh, Chayochel.
Wow. Okay. God will inherit these places from you. He will smite you with water and fire. We just took care of the north. Now let's take care of what's going to happen in the south. Chava, would you read Pasuk? Pasuk Teira Ashkelon.
Teira Ashkelon, Betira. The Aza. The Aza, is that Gaza?
Mm-hmm.
The Aza, the Sakhir Ma'od, the Ekron, he beats
Mebata.
The Eved Melech, the Ashkelon,
Lo Teshev. Okay, now, the reason why these cities should be very scared is because they will look at what happened to Tzor and Sidon to the north, and then they'll be very scared from what's happening there down south. So these are the cities to the south that should also be scared, because what's going to happen to Tzor will happen to them. But look at Vav. Vav is a quite a difficult pasuk. Stanley, why don't you try to make sense of it?
Okay. The Asha, Manzera, the Ashto,
So the Mamzer will reside in Ashdod, and I'll cut off the pride of the Philistines. Okay. The Iker point of the Pasuk is really quite simple. It flows out of Pasuk Hay, is that other inhabitants will take the land of the Philistines. The Philistine lands will be taken from them. Okay. Now, who's the Mamzer that's moving into Ashdod? So I just, this is so amazing, because the commentaries to Zechariah are so disparate that it just shows that they almost cancel each other out. Because Targum, look what Targum again does. And look, Targum should be the most authoritative of all of them. Listen to it. Hold on to your seats. Just listen to the Aramaic. V'suvun beis Yisrael v'ashdod.
They will surround.
What did I just read? V'suvun beis Yisrael v'ashdod. Targum, why on earth would Zechariah refer to them as the Jews as a mamzer?
It's from the word shar.
Amazing. Yeah, okay, mumzor. That they say the word zor. Ne'am zor.
Translated it.
Right.
Decided that it's
from. Look what Rashi writes. V'yoshav am nochri ba'ashdod. A foreign nation shall live there. Who's the Am Nochri? Heim Yisrael shahayu bo nochrim. Because with respect to the Philistines, we were strangers. All of these people from the outside, these mamzer, will stay in Ashdod. Okay? That is the pshat of some of the other Mephoshim. It doesn't mean a people named mamzer. It means that you know, we'll bring in them, like a penal colony. You know, Ashdod will be taken over by these people. These undesirable, so to say. All right, that's possibly what it is, but and however you look at it, it's difficult. In the very least, it means you people in the Plishtim, you're not long for staying in this land. I will remove the blood from her mouth. Okay. And the shikuts, the disgusting things from between her teeth. Teeth.
Right.
Bless you.
Right.
His teeth. When Yishar Gam Hu Lelokeinu. Okay. Now, what is being left for God? It's not so clear. Right? So Rashi writes that there will be shoals and bate mitrashos in the gullus. They will be brought back for us. Right, that's a drasha from the Gemara. It's not certainly not the pshat. Okay. All right. V'haya kaluf b'Yehuda v'Ekron kibushi. It'll be like a champion of Yehuda, and you know what'll happen to Ekron? The same that happened to the Yebusi. What happened to the Yebusi?
Destroyed. They killed.
They were given up to tribute to us. Yebusi is actually Yerushalayim. Okay. All right, so Pasuk Zion means I will remove their bloodthirstiness from them. They will no longer be able to conquer as they always did in the past. The Chanishi Lebeishi is, what's the next word in your Tanakh? Mitzava, right? It should be an Aleph. Right, like Tzva'os, like an army. Chanishi Lebeishi Mitzava me over mishav v'lo yavor aleihem od nogeis ki atara isi be'enoi. Now it's almost like the pasuk in Shmos, where Hashem tells Moshe, "I've come down to the earth. I've seen what's happening. I know how my children are suffering." And God, well, it's anthropomorphic. You can't see from up there someplace. Just look down. Just put on binoculars and look down on what's going on here. Right? It just means that Hashem, like Rashi says, "No, same leave the faresh." Put more discernment. These are terminologies that are difficult for us to give to God. And Hashem says, I'm going to park myself. Mm-hmm. Right? And I'm going to make sure that no more no gates can pass over my people. Not from the north, not from the south. Mm-hmm. Okay. I've seen with my own eyes. No gates is like also in Shmos. Okay, so in essence, until now, Zechariah has been saying, because we're turning the page now, and turning the corner on this prophecy, that the countries that subjugated you from the north and the south, those who thought they were so smart, who can hide behind their fortresses, who can revel in all their wealth like dust in the field, like clay is their gold, they are all going to fall and they're going to be occupied by others. Right? Now, a message to Israel. Pasuk Tes. Stan, did you read it?
Anybody?
Okay. Raymond, do you want to read verse 9?
Yes. Of chapter 9, right?
Yes.
Here we go. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout for joy, O daughter of Jerusalem. For behold, your king will come to you, righteous and victorious as he, a humble man riding upon a donkey, upon a foal, a foal. How you say that?
A foal,
right? Yeah. A calf of she donkeys.
Okay, how do you like that? This is a picture, all the Mepharshim say, of Mashiach riding into Jerusalem. Anyone who has ever declared himself Mashiach always has to come into Jerusalem on a donkey, whether it's Shabbat Ben
Hosanna,
yeah, wherever it is. So the problem is that this picture of Mashiach riding on such a, like, let's say, a donkey might be like a small little Honda. You know, Mashiach should come in like in a big entourage, a stretched limousine. You know, mm-hmm. Right? So he's righteous, but impoverished. So the Gemara in Maseches Sukkah and Yerushalmi in Maseches Sanhedrin ask, but wait a second. In Sefer Daniel, there is a very glorious picture of the messianic figure. Why do we have someone here who is so impoverished? So the Gemara and also Maseches Chagiga points to conflicting psukim a few places in Tanakh, where Mashiach has one picture here and a very different, a very contrasted picture someplace else. This is Mashiach ben Yosef, and this is Mashiach ben Dani. The donkey is Mashiach. The poor ones are Mashiach ben Yosef. The less glorious ones, the ones who aren't listened to, the ones who are wrapped in bandages, or the one in, those are Mashiach ben Yosef. And although I have to tell you, there you see that in the Talmud there are also pictures of Mashiach ben David as poor and impoverished. But I have to tell you, Jews basically shied away from that with the advent of Christianity. Tell me why.
Because, like, the two comings.
Well, Christianity gives two comings. So they say the impoverished one, that's Jesus, the first time. Mm-hmm. And the glorious ones is the second time. So Jews For instance, there's a Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin that has Mashiach ben David, our Mashiach ben David, also in an impoverished state. Mm. But then the Jews sort of dropped that because the Christians created this idea of the suffering servant who's dying for our sins. And it says, "Gili ma'od bas tiyom." I used to write this pasuk on when I gave wedding gifts. Yeah.
Oh,
and I'd say, may you look forward to each other's company as the Nasr, I'll look forward to the coming of Mashiach, something like that. So this is the pasuk that has the picture of Mashiach in the impoverished state.
Pasuk Yudalef. It's not so clear what it means, but if you're coming in from the right direction, it really reads very easily. It says, Gam at bedam briteich. It's interesting that while he is referring to the blood of circumcision, right, he is referring to Bnei Yisrael in the feminine, right? This is something that you find often, especially in three Nevi'im, Hosea, Yirmiyahu, and Zechariah, referring to the Bnei Yisrael in feminine. What's the difference? I mean, because most of the prophets made reference to the relationship between God and his people as a parent-child relationship. Some prophets referred the relationship to a spousal relationship. Obviously, there's a huge difference between the two. A parent to a child is sort of more of an unconditional love. You're my child, and there's nothing can change that. I can't divorce you from being my child. Just as much as you can't divorce me from being your parent. But a spousal relationship is given to breakup. You're not loyal to me, I'm not going to stay loyal to you. Right? Now, we see in the Torah, by the way, the Torah seems to go with the child relationship at first, and then towards the middle and end of Devarim, it seems that Hashem wants to tell you, listen, I want this to be more reciprocal. Like the Eiras Tichli Le'olam, you know, Erisin, it's reciprocal in Sefer Hosea. So anyway, here he's referring to At, Gam At, you, in feminine, with the blood of your circumcision, Shilachti Asirayich Mibor Eimayimbo. Alright, Rashi just says it very simply. Bezchus dam habris shenizrak aleichem b'sinai k'mo shekosuv hinei dam habris asher karas. So why does Rashi say there that it's not talking about the dam of circumcision, but the dam at Parshas Mishpatim, right before Har Sinai? Be aware of this, that Moshe sprinkled blood on everybody from these big baskets. Isn't that amazing? Because we think of Mama Har Sinai from Parshas Yisro, but Parshas Mishpatim also has little section at the end there of Moshe going up for 40 days. Mm. So why does Rashi refer to the dam of the Har Sinai more than the...
Because of the end of the pasuk.
I think because the end of the pasuk, but also because, since he's saying at and feminine, so it doesn't seem right to limit the blood of circumcision, which is only on the men. Dam b'seich, this blood went on everybody, all Klal Yisrael, the men and the women and the children at Har Sinai. So I think that Bor in Mayim Bo is referring to Bavel. It's a pit, there's no water there, means there's no Torah there, there's no spiritual, there's no spirit there. Yirmiyahu Perek Bet is dedicated all to this. Why are you going to make peace pacts with these broken cisterns that cannot even hold water when you have me, the source of Be'er Mayim Chayim? Right, so this is what he's talking about, this Mibor Ein Mayim Bo. Right, so the pasuk is saying, just basically, is very simple. If I will return you from the exile because of an original pact I made with your ancestors, even if you don't deserve it, I'm taking you out of here. Right? So that much I will certainly do. Right? How successful you do, that's up to you. Shuvu lebitzaron. What is bitzaron? The Targum reads Tuvu, return lemehave krakim takifin. Right? Return to make fortified cities. So how does come on, I'm a Hebrew speaker here, Yonatan. How does the Targum understand the word Bitzaron?
The fortress.
Batzoret. Arim Bitzurot. Hear it? Okay. I'm not sure if that's the Pshat. I think that as Ibn Ezra says, something very interesting. Omer Hanavi Shubi Yerushalayim Shehu Bitzaron Kisham. Hachashmonim. He says that this nevuah is about preparing the Hanukkah story against the Greeks. So he says, go back to the place where they cultivate Asirei HaTikva, you who have been lost of hope. Gam hayom magid mishnah oshiv lach. Okay, Rabbi Yosef Kara says, Shehim asurim latikva shemekavim lamashiach.
In my invoke, but it's a door that has no mind.
Well, you're returning from there. Right, that's what you have to come here. Because Gam hayom magid mishnah oshiv lach. I'm giving you two messages. I'm a magid mishnah. I'm going to tell you two things. Alright, Od Hayom Ani Magid Lachab Besora Shnia Levad Zu Shal Binyan, Rashi says. Alright, Mahi Hagadah Hashnia, what is this second thing? Shani Shav Lishanot Lachem. I am coming with you to help you. Now, some say actually that Magid Mishnah, of course, Christians say that it refers to two comings of Jesus. Right? Magid Mishnah, however, according to the Ushalmi, means that there are two announcements of Mashiach. One is a pre-announcement that's called Hinei Anochi Shaleich Lachem Eseli Anavi Lifnei Boyim Hashem HaGadol V'Nara HaDivat Alonim B'Saros Talos Yishuos Nechamos. And then just before Mashiach comes Mamish, that's the second announcement. Okay, let's read you Gimel here. Let's try to see what we can do with this. Richard, would you do the honors?
Ki derachti li Yehuda Keshet Mileti Ephraim Orarti Banaich Tzion al banayich yavon v'samtich k'cherev dibur.
Wow. Well, this is why Ibn Ezra says that this refers to the Chashmonaim. So the pasuk here is referring to Ephraim and Yehuda. Okay.
Yavon was already on the stage as far as people of that time.
Yes. Yavon is a nation mentioned in the Torah. Absolutely. So
Ephraim's in Gaulis already, no?
Oh, for a long time, yes. So Ephraim and Yehuda, however, comprise the two kingdoms of Israel, the north and the south. So we're just going to have those representatives of leadership of those two kingdoms, but since all the prophets, any Haftorah, Parshas Vayigash here, Yechezkel refers to, remember the prophecy of the two trees, and they'll become one. To write the names of Ephraim and Yehuda on the two trees, but only Yehuda will Hoshea in the beginning of his book already spoke of all of Ephraim and Yehuda having one leader. So this is a common theme. So we're up to Pasuk Yudalit. But we have to make our way through Yavon in order to get here. So Vashem Aleim Moshe, would you read the 14 minutes? Yudalit.
Vashem Aleim Yira'eh Yatsa Chabarat Chitzo V'ad Hashem Elokim Hashofer Yiska V'halach Yisaros Teman.
Okay, this is one of the very famous pasuk, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is one of the shofros and Rosh Hashanah that we read. Mm. And it's meant to instill in us, when Hashem does these things, it will be like a shivering and a... Right? Saros means...
The storms.
Teman is today's Yemen. It's very simple, because when you face east, Kedem is east, Yama is west, because the Yam is in back of you. Right, so south is to the right. So Yamin, Teman, means to the right, down south. So Hashem Tzalkos Yogin Alehem V'achlu V'chavshu Avnei Kela V'shasu Homu Kimo Yayin U'malu Kamizrak Kizavios Nizbeach. Right, so it says that because God will defend you, therefore you will eat the booty of your enemies. Okay, you will kavshu avnei kela v'shasu homu. You will destroy all their weapons. Here he talks about their slings and whatever their weapons are at that time. You will destroy them. Okay, so you will v'shasu homu kimo yayin. You will drink of their booty as if though it was wine. You'll become drunk with your success. Right, umalu kamizrak kizavios nizbeach, and you'll fill up your vessels, your cups, as if though you're holding them at the corner of the mizbeach. Now, what usually trickles down from the corner of the mizbeach?
Blood.
So it can either mean the blood of your enemies, or so much blood that goes down, that's how much wine you'll have in your cup. It's just a sign of great success in your battle and in your against your enemies. Okay. Let's see, V'hoshiyam Hashem Glenn, would you read the next
one? Shalom Hashem Elohim, Yom Ahu, Katzon Amav, Ki Avnei Nezer, Nosos, Al Admasel.
Wow. Saying that, what are Avnei Nezer? What is Nosos, Al Admasel? It means they'll be very, very wealthy.
Right? The actual translation of Avnei Nezer?
It can either be the stones of a crown.
Okay.
That's probably what it is. Is that what you have there?
Yeah, it's what's here. Stones.
Yeah. So, I mean, according to Ibn Ezra, that's where the word nazir comes from. In other words, it means stones good enough to put into a crown are going to be the foundation of Yerushalayim. This is a similar type of nevuah as Yeshayahu. And he says, Kima tuvo umaya fio dagon bachurim v'siroshi noveh v'sulos. If Pasuk Tet Zion refers to the great wealth of those returning to Israel, it would appear that Pasuk Yud Zion is referring to the great health and vitality of those returning to Yerushalayim. Okay? You're good, you're beautiful, you're pretty, you're healthy, you're... Right? The young boys, young girls are all eating the finest foods. Gives them koach.